C+2. Ford Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. When Tara woke early to find Emma and Dan curled up on the couch, quiet but awake, Emma stuck to her earlier decision to afford Tara a few more hours of blissful ignorance. Watching the news was a sufficiently convincing explanation as to why they were there. Emma's bedroom contained no TV, and Dan had recently switched on the living room's projector, and Tara didn't pay enough attention to their expressions to know that anything was wrong. It wasn't until Timo arrived with Clark, not long before noon, that blissful ignorance's time finally ran out.
"So what's the big secret?"
Clark asked immediately upon entering Emma's house, evidently on the basis of what Timo had told him so far. Dan wasn't annoyed by this. The main thing was that Timo hadn't told Clark what the secret was. Emma called Tara into the room, as keen as Dan to get this over with and to make sure they only had to do it once. This time, Tara did notice their tellingly grim expressions. "Alessandro found an extinction-level comet when he was looking towards the area the plaque told us to look in," Dan said, spitting it out in layman's terms. "If nothing stops it, it's going to hit Earth in 9 months."
"What? Why don't they stop it?"
Clark asked, diving straight into the heart of the dilemma and verbalizing a thought Dan had been wrestling with all morning.
"If they're on our side, why warn us when they could save us?"
"I don't know yet," Dan said, throwing in the "yet" for his own benefit as much as anyone else's. He then turned to Tara to see how she was taking it. The color had drained from her face, and she had already sat down, so the answer seemed to be, "not well."
"What if it's maybe not actually a comet?" she said, trying to clutch on to some faint hope. "What if it's the messengers? Maybe it's their ship."
"Doesn't their craft travel at the speed of light?" Clark asked.
"No," Dan said. "Well, I guess there's a chance, but we don't know that it does. What I know for sure, what they told me, is that their craft is powered by light. That doesn't mean they move at the speed of light. Think of a remote-controlled car with a solar panel on top for recharging the battery. Powered by light. But that's all. Their craft could be the same."
"So it could be them?"
Tara asked, her tone now bordering on desperation. Dan deferred to Timo, who shook his head. "The observed size and the early composition analysis are quite conclusive on that," Timo said. "But Tara, none of this is to say that we are helpless. There has to be a way to deal with this, and my team is going to work with the GSC to find it. You don't have to like Godfrey to recognize that the existence of the GSC framework is going to be a big plus here in terms of facilitating and hastening the kind of scientific and political discussions we need to have. So it really could be worse."
"Here's the other thing I don't get," Clark blurted out,
his tone tinged with an angry kind of confusion more than helpless fear.
"How does this fit in with everything else? Dan, you think they gave us a plaque so it was undeniable that the message on it came from them, right? But how does this fit in? It's just a star map that showed us the way to one system, and even I know that comets move fast as hell, so surely this plaque is only a relevant warning at this specific time. How does that make any kind of sense in the context of Kloster's story about the craft being found in Toplitz 80 years ago? And without exposing the hoax, which they don't want us to do, how the hell can we ever explain that this came from a plaque? Are we even going to try?"
Clark's was a question Dan had already thought about, but that didn't mean that he had come to any real conclusions. He had concluded that they would likely share the plaque, particularly if complacent thoughts that the messengers might stop the comet became prevalent, but the issue of how its content made sense was a difficult one to deal with. If the plaque's star map had led to the discovery of New Kerguelen as initially hoped and expected, everything would have been a lot more straightforward. As it was, straightforwardness was in short supply. "It is possible to fit this new plaque into the existing narrative," Dan said. "It's kind of like if I told you to look towards a certain tree in the distance so you could see a bird that was about to fly in front of it. There are limits to how far away a given object can be observed from, so I don't think it would be too much of a stretch for people to think that the messengers knew this comet's long-term path and knew that we would first see it by looking in this one specific direction."
"Hopefully that ends up being the kind of thing we have to worry about," Emma chimed in. "Message management is something I can handle. If we hear some feasible solutions from the GSC in the next few days, I'll be happy to worry about fitting the fourth plaque in with the rest of the story.
So we're telling the GSC about this soon, Clark said. This wasn't a question, but rather an approving statement.
We already have, Timo replied, via the observatory. There's no time to waste. Alessandro and the others he's spoken to won't say a thing in public. They understand as well as we do that this has to be handled delicately. But if weeks begin to pass with no progress behind the scenes, there's only so long that silence can last. And if this news gets out the wrong way... Very suddenly, Timo's phone began to ring. Its high-pitched tone was so loud and shrill that it irritated Rooster into an uncharacteristic fit of barking.
The call is coming in from Argentina, Timo said as soon as he lifted the phone from his pocket and silenced the obnoxious ringtone.
Rooster calmed down in an instant.
Take the call, Emma said very firmly.
Timo swiped his finger on the touchscreen and put the phone to his ear.
Hello? Mr. Fiore, a familiar voice said. I'm glad I got hold of you.
Chairman Godfrey, Timo replied, confirming what the others already suspected.
I'm calling to thank you for handling this comet business privately and to check that it really was just discovered, Godfrey went on. I won't bear any further grudges, but it's important that we have the full story here.
Emma, listening in beside Timo's ear along with Tara, Dan, and Clark, encouraged him to answer affirmatively. Timo did so, stating that he had authorized his observatory staff to share the data with Godfrey's people within hours of being informed.
And can I ask if you're still with Emma Ford?
Emma nodded.
I am,
Timo relayed.
Is she there now? May I have a word?
Timo handed the phone to Emma.
Shouldn't you be having meetings with your researchers or something? She began. Time isn't exactly on our side.
Our side? Godfrey mused. You see, that's the thing, because I'm assuming you were in on this from the moment Timo found out, and I can't pretend I'm not amazed that you went through the proper channels. This news would have finished me if you'd gone public with it.
If I've ever given you the impression that I care about what happens to you, I can only apologize for the misunderstanding,
Emma replied sharply.
I care when you're in my way or in the way of other people I care about, but this is much bigger than you. And right now, a strong GSC is the world's best hope. I've been around long enough to know that this story is going to come out, but...
But it has to come out in the right way, Godfrey interrupted, on the same page. Exactly. And that begs the question...
Of what the right way is? Emma butted in, returning the favor. If you're asking me, which you obviously are, I'll cut to the chase and say that a carefully worded simultaneous announcement from national leaders is the best way to break this, just like on Disclosure Day. And just like back then, those announcements shouldn't be rushed. They should come only after an international team gets around a table and goes over every inch of this thing. First of all, every speck of data needs to be analyzed and corroborated, and then the team needs to turn towards solutions. Every option, every pro, every con, every cost, every one-in-a-million shot, every last little thing. Once we know where we stand and how we're going to react, that's when it goes public. It has to be announced before someone else spots it, but not before we have some kind of plan. If you go to the public with a viable plan, you're maybe looking at food shortages and a run on the banks. But if this message isn't managed and the public suddenly finds out that we have 9 months left, you're looking at a global economic and societal collapse.
You'll find no disagreement from me there, Godfrey said. And fortunately, on this occasion, we have a pre-assembled international team in the form of the GSC itself.
The GSC is going to be part of the international team, Emma corrected. The reason you're in Argentina and the reason Argentina got to sit at the power table last year is because that's where the sphere happened to be found. So if you think Fiore Frontieri isn't getting a seat at this table after finding the threat in the first place, well, maybe we're not on the same page after all.
Godfrey was quiet for a few seconds.
Ms. Ford, this isn't a hostile negotiation. Timo can throw as much money into the kitty as he wants, and his astronomers and researchers are welcome in Buenos Aires any time they like.
The baseless hysteria over recent events gives us an ideal cover story for high-level meetings in the coming days and weeks, and President Slater's call for public-private cooperation, which the leaders of other primary member states have already echoed, likewise makes it easy for me to extend an olive branch to Fiore Frontieri without looking like I'm flip-flopping arbitrarily. The situation is grave, and our task is difficult. But it could be worse. Meaningful work on this kind of thing was underway long before we brought together the world's national space agencies, and that meaningful work has continued in our Planetary Defense Division. We're not ready for this, and I can't pretend otherwise. But it's also not something that's never crossed our minds as a potential scenario. Everything that can be done will be done. Beyond that, only time will tell. Although Emma didn't share Godfrey's philosophically relaxed outlook, she was pleasantly surprised by his uncharacteristic acquiescence. Nothing like a giant comet to knock the belligerence out of someone, she figured. The confirmation that meaningful work had been ongoing within the GSC's Planetary Defense Division, the confirmation that Godfrey's earlier public comments to the same effect weren't just spin, also afforded her a modicum of hope that a timely human solution to the comet problem was merely highly improbable as opposed to flat-out impossible. "Okay, well, keep us up to date on those meetings," she said. "We'll make sure no one at Fiore Frontieri speaks a word of this to anyone, and I trust you'll do the same at your end. Rumors wouldn't be fatal. If a story comes out that someone's friend works at the GSC and says that a comet has been detected, recent incidents mean that it could easily be dismissed as a misunderstanding based on the asteroid that grazed over California, or even as a paranoid 2+2=5 kind of thing. What could be fatal is a direct comment from a GSC employee or official." More glad than ever of his recent purge, Godfrey replied confidently, "It's under wraps." "Good. And like I said, keep us informed. I'll be paying attention. Anyway, here's Timo again," Emma said, handing his phone back.
"I look forward to doing whatever I can to help," Timo said. "Goodbye for now, Mr. Godfrey."
"Goodbye," Godfrey replied. "Oh, but Timo."
"Yes?"
"Chairman Godfrey," he corrected. The line went dead. Timo rolled his eyes and put his phone in his pocket.
"The fate of the world is in that idiot's hands," he sighed.
The others said nothing.